사랑하는 성도 여러분, 우리는 한 주에도 여러 편
Brothers and sisters, we listen to several sermons each week, Sunday morning and evening services, Friday online service, and Wednesday service, at least three or four messages, sometimes even more. However, we know that hearing many sermons and being deeply moved does not necessarily mean that the Word becomes ours. When the Word has become ours, that means it is being applied and obeyed. For example, we were touched by the message, Rejoice Always. We learned that as those who are saved, we can always rejoice in the joy of salvation and in our Almighty God and loving Lord. Thus, even when we have worries or troubles, we must stay joyful. And when we do so, God works to resolve our problems. But if we still show irritation and live without joy, even after receiving grace, how can we say the Word has become ours? When we remember the message we heard, apply it to ourselves, cast off evil that is contrary to the truth, and practice the truth. I mean, if we want to change, we have to discover that is contrary to the word of truth. This is what should be done first. We have to discover evil and then practice the truth. I mean, well, if we don't discover the obvious untruth, we have, while when we don't realize the evil, when how can we realize the truth? And I mean, in order to practice the truth, first thing we have to do is to discover the untruth and just throw them away. That's how it makes it easier. So we have to, what are kinds of evil we have? Like you have irritation. When you get irritated, you have your reasons. When you have complaints, you have your reasons for complaints, like, and you also have worries and concerns. That's why you cannot rejoice. But even if we don't have the physical reasons for thanksgiving, you can be joyful because we have the joy of salvation. This is how we have to apply the message. You have to use the word to meditate, reflect on yourself, and then you will be able to practice the word as we practice the truth. The word becomes ours and God's power is revealed. In other words, when we obey and act according to the word, God works with answers and blessings. The power of the word. The word has become ours. When the word has become ours, you should have fruit. If you just even when you are poor, as Jesus said, the beggar Lazarus was blessed and the rich man was not blessed. So knowing that, we can be rejoiced. As we know that if we live out a word, Father God will help us. And when we cast off selfish greed, God will allow us to be blessed if we believe this. No matter what kind of troubles you have in reality, in order to do that, you have to apply the word in your. To do so, it is important to remember the word. In order to practice the word, you have to discover the reasons for disobedience. This is reflection. In order to do that, so the words first you have to meditate, I mean, keep the word in mind so that you can discover the evil in you. That's why, through the sermon titled Grace and Life, I spoke about the basic step to making God's Word truly yours. In this message, I will explain how to apply the Word and the grace you've received to yourself. If you remember the message, but use it to rebuke and condemn others, it is no use. For example, when your spouse complains or gets irritated, you might say, "Didn't you hear the sermon? It said, rejoice always, even when it's hard. Don't complain or get upset, but entrust it to God and rejoice." Then he will answer, "So, why can't you rejoice?" Even if you don't directly say it out loud, you might feel frustrated thinking that way. So you don't apply the message to yourself, but to others. As you feel frustrated and rebuke others, then are you rejoicing always? Even if you didn't lose your temper because you feel uneasy or frustrated with others, joy leaves your heart. But you don't even realize that you are now rejoicing. You remember the word and use the word to rebuke others and teach others, but you yourself are now rejoicing and you don't even realize that. It's not to judge others, evaluate others with the word, but we have to look at yourself with the word. You listened well, received grace, and remember the word. But why does this happen? It's because you are using God's word, the truth, to judge others. The word should be applied to yourself so you can discover and change yourself. Because it's not, the grace hasn't truly become yours. You received grace. You received grace. And you confess that you received grace, but you don't discover yourself, so you cannot bring forth fruit and life. So, who should you look at yourself? Who should you look at with the word? Yourself. It means you are. So today, I will speak about self-reflection, the effort needed to make the grace and enlightenment yours, namely, to change yourself. May all of you understand how to achieve sanctification through this message and rise as examples of holiness. Holiness is not just about attending service and being faithful. You have to reflect on yourself with the words you've heard, and you have to pray without ceasing, and you have to act positively. That leads you to holiness. Holiness is to cast off evil and practice the truth. But even if you are diligently, some people misconceive that they are attending church diligently and they think that they are leading a good Christian life, but God doesn't acknowledge that. Truly, you have to listen to the message well and sanctify yourself. That is a proper, good Christian life. For that purpose, you need to, until we reach New Jerusalem, we have to reflect on ourselves. Brothers and sisters, some people who go on a diet carefully record everything they eat throughout the day and check the calories of each item. They say, this food is which calorie and that food is which calorie. And when they exercise, they record the how many they measure their weight, and they try to figure out what caused them to have increased weight. In the same way, if we pursue sanctification, we must examine our words, actions, feelings, thoughts, and even hearts, and find out what is wrong by the standard of truth. Our thoughts, our feelings. In the last week, we talked about the feelings and the feelings about sin. You shouldn't have good feelings about sin. You have to check your emotions and feelings. When you look at a girl or a boy, you feel, especially when you are married, when you look at a person other than your spouse and you feel attracted, if you find yourself being attracted, that feeling is wrong. That feeling is, you have to check yourself that way, and you have to check your words and actions and deeply search yourself with the truth as the absolute standard. You have to know how. Living in the world filled with sins and evil, we have committed so many untruths, not knowing their sins. We may think we are right and blameless, yet when we measure ourselves by the truth, we find many faults. For instance, without the truth as our standard, we may think we are good simply because we didn't argue with someone who hates and speaks ill of us. And you may think that because you stop arguing, because you stop arguing, you may think yourself as good. And but when we apply the truth, we have to reflect on what kind of thoughts and heart we have toward that person. You have to check. Examine your heart and mind. Even if you didn't viciously fight, even if you didn't, but still you have to check your heart and mind. Compare yourself to Jesus and other fathers of faith. You have to ask ourselves, am I just holding back my hurt feelings? Even though I am not arguing with him, am I not complaining to others and sharing his faults? Even though I'm not fighting or doing evil, when I discover his fault, am I not pointing out with a loud voice? With these questions, you have to examine yourself. We hardly commit the deeds of the flesh because we don't physically fight or physically. But if you feel upset and you talk to your close friends and gossip about her and say things like, even though you didn't actually argue or fight, you have such words and thoughts, you have to discover them. And you also gossip about a person who gossiped about you with those who are close to you. But the problem is, you don't discover that because another person gossiped about you first. You don't discover that. But you are the same. You also complained and actually gossiped about her. And you say things, bad things about, speak. And you also estrange people, alienate people, even though you actually didn't go and argue with that person, and even though you think of yourself as good, you're actually piling up a lot of evil. But you don't realize this fact. But this is isn't this the deeds of the flesh? Because you, this is the deeds of the flesh, because you complain with your lips, and because. And, but if you don't discover such sins and evil, how could you sanctify yourself? This is, even though you didn't go and argue with that person, but in her bag, you were gossiping about her. So this, and even though you're not fighting, or doing evil, when you discover his fault, are you not pointing that out with a loud voice? And let's say some person is feels uncomfortable towards another person, and I try to figure as I talk with them. At first, he denied it, and he was not feeling uncomfortable. But I said to her, "I saw you so many cases, and as I pointed that out second time, he admitted that he was feeling uncomfortable towards another person, towards that specific person, and he was feeling uncomfortable. And so I gave him advice. He said that I reflected on himself, and because another person didn't, because he was once hurt by the person, that's why he had some uncomfortable feeling towards that person. That's how he realized. It was a blessing that he realized himself. We have to look at ourselves this way, deeply look at ourselves. But people just cover up themselves, and they just, but if we really look at ourselves with the truth, we have such deep reasons. We may have some hatred against others, and we may have some hurt feelings. That's why we feel uncomfortable towards another person, specific person, and that kind of feeling is revealed. And we have to discover that. This is how you would reflect on yourself in the truth. When you have to also ask yourself, when another person gets scolded by his leader, do you not feel relieved? When that person is scolded or rebuked by another person, you may feel relieved. You may have such feelings and thoughts. And these thoughts and feelings that are going on in your heart, you have to look at them and with our thoughts, we can instantly travel to a faraway country. And with our thoughts, we can go wherever we want. In our thoughts and minds, we have many things going on in our thoughts. So we have to examine them in the truth. And let's say someone hurt us, and even though we don't fight, we may have these things going on in our heart. We have to discover that they came from evil or discomfort, ill feelings. In addition to taking care of these of flesh which are committed in action, we are to discover even sins and evil in our heart and mind, which is the beginning of sanctification. This is the Christian life of self-reflection. Self-reflection means to search deeply and thoroughly. You have to dig into your thoughts, feelings, and heart and discover and throw away untruth and evil. It would be good to discover your evil easily, but our sins and evil or inherited from our parents, grandparents, and our ancestors, they're united with you. So worldly people don't even know that there are sins and evil. Unless we look at ourselves with the obvious truth, we cannot discover it. And also, like Job's case, he didn't know himself. And he also discovered the evils and sins deep in our heart through trials. So we have to live a life of self-reflection so that we can become God-pleasing children and achieve sanctification. The standard for this must be the word of truth. We should not consider our thoughts to be right with our own thoughts. If you compare yourself with others or have the worldly goodness or teachings as a standard, you can't discover yourself. The world teaches that for your mental well-being, you shouldn't keep uncomfortable or frustrating feelings inside, but should express them and explain them to others. It doesn't tell you to show irritation or anger, but it teaches that it's wise to explain yourself and seek others' understanding. You may have some hurt feelings, or they advise you to express yourself to the worldly people. This is the worldly teaching, but the truth teaches us. The truth tells us that ill feelings in us are evil and must be cast off through prayer. Let's say, even it tells us to cast off evil through prayer. And especially the gospel of holiness taught here. And we are told to practice the word. It teaches us that the cause of ill feelings results from the lack of forgiveness and love and self-seeking heart. So rather than blaming others, we are to discover our evil and change. As we listen to this message, you may find this message difficult or tough, and you may find worldly teachings easy and comfortable to obey. But the world's teachings may feel easier, but following them cannot bring about the growth of goodness, love, and faith. Even though you do not fight or insist on your own way, if you do not yield, sacrifice, give, humble yourself, you are merely a good person by worldly standards. Only by worldly standards, but not a truly good person, loved by God. Even though you don't do evil on the outside, you have envy and jealousy on the inside, and in the world, but God looks at our heart. So even if you, while we yield to others, if we have discomfort or your feelings, God knows that all. But we have to remove even these feelings so that we can become sanctified. If you, you may think that if we apply the word of sanctification in the world, you may always, you're always suffering loss. No. You must always be guided by the Holy Spirit, discern things by the truth, and never stand on the path of evil or agree with unrighteousness. Even when it causes inconvenience or brings no benefit, helping and supporting others is goodness and love. We must understand that the teachings of the world and the truth are different and live by the standard of truth alone. When you yield, when you give, when you, if you live this way, God is on your side. So even when you yield, you gain many more things from others. Even if you yield, you will ultimately gain recognition and love through God's work. So we must understand that the teachings of the world and the truth are different. Teachings of the world and the truth are different. They are very different. So we have to only live by the standards of truth alone. You have to reflect on ourselves, but not in our own way. But let's say when you measure something, you need a measure. But you have to need to have the standard, only have the truth as a standard. There are also cases like this. You try to talk with someone to reconcile, but the conversation turns into an argument, leaving both sides hurt and the relationship worse. Why? Why does this happen? Because you still harbor dislike, misunderstanding, and self-centeredness. You end up speaking only from your own position. When one says, "What you said and did hurt me," the other responds, "When did I say that?" Or, you made me act that way. And the other responds, "When did I say that?" Or, "You made me act that way." Even though you, even though one says in a kindly way, and the other responds in a,
"듣다 보니까 그렇게 말한 것 같아요. 그럼 뭐라고 얘기한 줄 아세요?
And other responds in a, and you made me act that way, which means you caused me to act that way, and giving an excuse. So the conversation naturally turns into an argument because both sides have ill feelings. They don't, without removing their ill feelings, they only try to solve a problem through a conversation. And worldly people think that through conversation, their ill feelings can be removed. But true resolution and peace come when we look into our hearts with the Lord's forgiveness and love, discover misunderstanding, hatred, self-seeking heart, and desire to be loved, and change ourselves. No matter how others act, once we change first, peace comes to our hearts without the need to explain ourselves. But if we burn with anger, like when we burn with anger, we want to speak our mind and we just complain to others. It feels like our hearts would explode. And so worldly people, if we don't, so that's why worldly people just say things. And the worldly people also let the resolve their anger problem through some ways. They pick up a stick and hit. They worldly people have their own ways to relieve their stress. But how should we resolve our stress? For me, I pray to relieve my stress. Why do we have stress? If we, it's because we have evil. You may say, it's not because of me, but another person bothered me first. That's why I feel stressed. Should I? You have to know that Jesus suffered because of me. So why should I not forgive that person? Why should I not forgive that person? If you apply the truth in you, if you, so you begin to feel everything will, that way everything will become peaceful. This is the grace and strength from God. Then we gain the power of love to forgive and yield. We become able to do good to even those who once troubled us. As we do so, God can change their heart. It is just as written in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with them. In some cases, someone borrowed some money from you. It could be your relative, and they borrowed money from you, a big amount of money from you, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, for like business reasons or for personal reasons, whatever that is. But he doesn't give it, pay it back. And as a shepherd said, and the debtor and the creditor, if the money is not paid back, the relationship gets worse and worse. if the money is not repaid, debt is repaid, the relationship gets worse and worse. And if you lend your money and you, if you don't get your money back, you feel, also feel upset. And you put your money in the savings account, but that guy borrowed the money from me, and because of his, and he cannot pay it back. And he doesn't like the way, and you, after that guy borrowed the money from you, he doesn't call you very often because he feels sorry, and that's why you deepen your feelings, and you lose contact, and you feel more upset, and you distress yourself with such thoughts, and that could develop into a disease. Obviously, the another person who borrowed money from you committed a fault, but we have to. And you lent such precious money to that person. And the other person would feel, and you have to, and if you show such, as a man of truth, you have to, and if you do that, the Holy Spirit and Father God would give you, and you realize that even though such money was so precious to me, and I borrowed the money, lent the money to that person, and he must have been a very difficult time, and if we can pay it back later, and I didn't want to make enemies with that person, and you feel satisfied and you feel happy, and after you do that, and you feel the love of the Lord, and you feel the love of God, the Holy Spirit just gives you great grace. If you just check or examine your feelings with the truth, and you have to apply the truth in your life. That's why I talking about the self-reflection and the things going on between you, and the things going on between, everything is happening around you. If you have to apply them in the truth in the Word of God, and you have to gain the answers from that. Therefore, our standard must not be worldly teachings or our own sense of right and wrong. Only when we have God's Word as a standard, we can be sanctified and transformed. Moreover, things of the flesh or fleshly thoughts are not visible. Unless we have the truth as our standard and receive the Holy Spirit's help, we cannot discover ourselves. Only through the Spirit's help can we find sins and evil deeply rooted within us and potential forms of evil. We shouldn't go through trials like Job in the era of the Holy Spirit. Even if we don't go through trials like Job, if we pray, the Holy Spirit will give us an awakening. Even though we don't go through great trials, just this is the grace of living in the era of the Holy Spirit. Then we have to remember the Word and apply it to ourselves. We have to train ourselves that way. The Holy Spirit gives us grace and enlightenment. But if we don't, if you're not in the habit of doing that, we Let me give you an example. You prayed and striven for sanctification, have changed greatly. You no longer commit deeds of the flesh, sins through action. But when you see others not living by the word, you still feel uncomfortable. Since you've heard the truth, you don't point it out, but you often think, why does she act like that? Feeling uneasy about it, you quickly dismiss the thought, thinking, I'm not her guidance teacher, I'm not her pastor, so it's not my place to advise her. Even if I did, she wouldn't listen. Let's not think about it. But is it okay if you just stop having such thoughts? Rather, you should reflect on them deeply. I'm emphasizing that you have to think about your thoughts. You should hold on to the thoughts you are having, and you have to figure them out and meditate on them. You should first realize that thinking of another's fault itself results from the lack of goodness and love. As Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Unless it is a grave sin, there is no need to dwell on someone's faults. You have to ask yourself, she just has a different character and ways of expression, but have I not judged her and harbored ill feelings? Because of my arrogance, have I not felt uneasy over things that are not even serious faults? You have to do this process. You may know a lot of things about the truth, and you point out things well, and you advise others well, and you point out others, you are pointing out things, and you are because you are lacking love. If you have love, you don't need to feel frustrated, but you just believe and trust and believe that person. If that person is walking on the way to death, you have to directly advise her. But otherwise, if you think, even if I advise her, she wouldn't listen, you are already condemning her, laboring her as someone who doesn't listen to others. Even if you condemn that person, you don't know. But you're wrong. You're just thinking of her that way. If there is something that must be corrected, saying it is love. But when there is no love, we don't say even what we have to say for another person. That is merely pretending to be a good person. Pretending to be a good person. Because if you speak, that person would hate you, so you just stay silent. Even though you have to give advice, actually it's never easy to give advice or rebuke. But to make others improve, let's say,
Let's 어떨 때 이렇게 시장에 옷을 사러 갔는데요.
And the, I think about that when I won't go to the market and you buy to buy some clothes. Some clothes are look very ugly. I used to think that way, but I was like, but I soon realized that the designer did her best, but having such thoughts is ignoring that designer. Even though I don't know that designer, why should I ignore that person? Even... And I thought, why do they sell this kind of clothes? But I soon realized that I was being arrogant. I was ignoring the designer who made that clothes. And I realized why I was having this kind of thought. And let's say you go to a market or go to a downtown, and there are so many people on the street, and you feel uncomfortable, and you think, oh, why there are so many people on the street? But what about you yourself being on the street? But anyway, you're feeling uncomfortable of the street being crowded with people. And people, and what about you? You're not even in your house, but you are also on the street to walk around. And you may have these thoughts unconsciously before you know it, and you have to discern whether that is truth or untruth. And these kind of thoughts are judgment, condemnation, and they come from evil piled up in you. Even though you keep your actions and keep your words, but your thoughts are evil, and then how can you become a good person? And our members, and if you don't give advice because another person would not like it, this is and you stay silent, that's merely pretending to be a good person. If we step back from the truth and righteousness, If we step back from the truth and righteousness, we become cowards, agreeing with unrighteousness, despite not openly agreeing. Only by examining our thoughts with the standard of truth can we discover evil within our hearts. The evil in our hearts are revealed greatly in our thoughts and the words of our lips. And even if you have evil thoughts, those evil thoughts come from your heart. You have to discover evil thoughts and remove evil from your heart. You become sanctified. Because the evil is in your heart, they come out as evil thoughts. So, there is something to remember as we reflect on ourselves like this. We must see and admit ourselves as we truly are. people naturally love themselves, so they justify their own faults and mistakes. Just like the popular phrase, when I do it, it's romance. When others do it, it's adultery. They magnify others' faults while minimizing or excusing their own. With such an attitude, one cannot be sanctified or reflect on himself the right way. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God knows and sees even the depths of our hearts. On the outside, we may compliment others with a smile, yet God fully knows the dislike and jealousy in our hearts. If we deny and hide such evil and fail to cast it off, we will have no chance to change when we stand before our Lord. At that time, when you obviously have evil, and so sometimes evil is revealed in your facial expression, but you don't realize it. Why? You have your own reasons. You justify yourself with those reasons, and that's so you give excuses and reasons, and not admitting yourself. And you don't see the evil in you as big or great. That's why you fail to discover yourself and you hide them, deny them. And even if you deny and hide them, they're not gone. They are revealed. They're revealed when you stand judgment. At that time, everything in our hearts will be revealed, whether we have hatred or love, self-exaltation or the heart of an unworthy servant, lust or judgment. Nothing can be hidden. Thus, while we are being cultivated now, we have the opportunity to be sanctified. Even though we diligently worship, pray, gather together, and serve, if we do not circumcise our hearts and admit ourselves and are slow to change, we will have deep regret when we meet our Lord. For example, suppose your colleague is being praised and you are not rejoicing together and joining in the praise. If you think, it's just because I am quiet by nature and not that close to him. Such a mindset is far from sanctification. You have to examine the state of your heart. First, ask yourself how you feel when that person is praised. As you reflect on yourself, you shouldn't hide or justify anything. Let's say you're not happy when others are praised, and you're not happy, and you don't agree with the compliment. You have to admit and discover that exactly. If you discover that feeling, that person is praised, why am I not happy? You have to look at yourself right at that moment. Then you can be sanctified. Please, you have to look at your heart. Sometimes you may think it's just your character and you feel it is a bother to look at yourself that way, and even if it's difficult or hard, you have to do that. You have to check and examine your feelings and emotions, and you don't even know why another person is being praised. If you're not happy or don't agree with the praise, there may be feelings of jealousy or dislike. You may say, I'm not being jealous, I'm just not close to her. If you give it such an excuse, you cannot change yourself. Or if her mistakes or faults come to mind, that also reveals jealousy or hatred. Your boss praises her. So why should her faults, why should her shortcomings come to mind? That means you are lacking love. If you also think, is that really worthy of such praise? Then perhaps you yourself have a desire to be praised. Such a person, there are many of such. While many people easily acknowledge their own achievement, they think lightly of others' accomplishments, saying, there's nothing special. They don't think of others' accomplishments as great. They say like, it's nothing, nothing special. This is great evil, arrogance. Then you don't acknowledge that praise. Such attitudes come from jealousy and arrogance. And they also feel. These things are not visible. You know, the famous chef, if they taste something, they know what ingredients are in there. So when you, when someone is being When I was up, people may think that what others doing is nothing, but this all comes from haughty heart, arrogant heart. But these people don't realize it, and if you don't realize, they cannot change themselves. You may think it's not a great sin or evil. It's not great evil, and you are just not agreeing with that praise. But it's not the end. Once you become arrogant, more arrogant, you can commit even greater sin, and that evil itself hinders you from going a better dwelling place, a high dwelling place in heaven. And they also feel disappointed. When I worked hard, I wasn't praised like that. It's a blessing if they discover such feelings, but they don't discover such feelings. When others are praised, there are also those who feel troubled because they themselves have not borne as much fruit. They may even misconceive that this is humility. They think, I want to help the senior pastor, but I cannot do that. This sounds like humility. This sounds like a humbleness. But no. But this is the this reflects that you have darkness in you. This is a lack of love that rejoices with the truth. While such feelings arise from their narrow-mindedness, they judge themselves generously and fail to reflect on themselves accurately. And they... And, you know, if I also, when you receive advice, receive a rebuke, after before an event, you receive advice and you feel depressed, and you look always depressed. And another person said, even if you receive a rebuke, you shouldn't look depressed. You should feel joyful. And he said, I am, because I feel so apologetic. But that, but he doesn't care what others and he looks so depressed all through the, so because they have so narrow minded heart, and he, but she says, because I look depressed because I feel so apologetic. I cannot even smile. I cannot even... But she's actually seeking her own benefits. Because she has to know that because she looks depressed, she's ruining the atmosphere. She should become a person who brings joy to others, but she's not. As they join in the praise and share in the joy, they can try to learn from their strength so that they too may bear fruit. Some people feel weary and lose the fullness when they recognize their lack of capability. They have a rather dark nature. If a person feels happy when praised, but discouraged when not, he is far from being a man of truth who rejoices always. Even in the same situation, each person's hearts and thoughts differ. Reflecting on the state of heart and discovering forms of evil is the way of sanctification. In the next session, I will continue to speak on how to apply the truth to our daily life and reflect on ourselves. Let me conclude a message. Brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 13 verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys a field. To have the beautiful kingdom of heaven, we must sell all our possessions. Here, possessions refers to flesh, sins, and evil that are perishable and stinking. As much as we sell our possessions, namely, cast off sins and evil in our hearts, we can have a more beautiful and glorious place in heaven. To that end, we should first discover the forms of evil within our hearts. Only when we reflect on ourselves with the Word of God, we can find evils we haven't realized with the Holy Spirit's help. As you realize your evils this way, do not feel weary or discouraged. Do not have such fleshly thoughts as, why am I so evil? There is so much to cast off. When will I be sanctified? Instead, have spiritual thoughts, believing that you can achieve it by God's grace and the help of the Holy Spirit. Above all, remember the love of the Lord who is praying for us and strive to become sanctified. By doing so, I pray in our Lord's name that you will enjoy glory shining like the sun in everlasting heaven.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.